Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 20th December 2018. So next week we will have one more Thursday class. After that will be a break, break for New Year. Then this Christmas, the Tuesday class is off. I think Sunday class also off. Except Thursday class will be on. So we will make full use of whatever we have, the classes before the year end. So tonight is a good session for us to recall to mind all that we have gone through for the past 1 year. Then also we have the short notes for last Thursday. I think it's also in the WhatsApp. I haven't sent out. It's in the email. I will send out after. Okay. Now we get ready for puja. Compose your mind. Develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sishya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sishya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sishya Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Milo Pho. Namo Milo Pho. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panati Pata Veramani Sikkhapada Samadhiyami. Adina Dana Veramani Sikkhapada Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna sarapaditena Dipena tamadangsina Tiloka dipang sambutang Pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambarayutena Dopena hang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyantang Puja bhajana mutamang Vanna ganda gunopetang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Punnena mattena ca otu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasabhavang Adivasetu nobante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivasetu nobante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivasetu nobante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigang hatu mutamang. Now you chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. By the power, making of aspiration, by the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transform merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Jam. Budang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax body and mind. Then we can have half an hour of meditation. We are off the light so that you can have better atmosphere. Okay, for those who already know how to meditate, you can just proceed. For those who need to stabilize their mind or train your mind, you can go ahead too. For those who already train, you can straight away go into the meditative state. If your spiritual faculties are still not developed, then you tend to have the mental hindrance. So when mental hindrance arise, if it's not so conducive, then you can either use the mind sweeping method combined with metta to decondition the heedless thinking and make you more peaceful and more calm. Then after that, you anchor it to your anapanasati or whatever object of meditation that you are familiar with. The purpose of this training is to anchor your mind so that it does not heedlessly wander off, lost in thought. When you are aware and mindful of the object of meditation, your mind doesn't run. It will develop sati. Then you're supposed to relax into it and just maintain the stability of it, and silence everything and maintain the awareness. If you do anapanasati or any method or any technique, you have to relax into all mind state that arise until your object of meditation become very quiet, very still. Like anapanasati, you have to develop the mindfulness of the in and out breath until the mind like doesn't breathe, hardly any breathing, until the breathing is like very subtle. We call that the internal breathing. So to develop the ability to maintain the breath at that fine, subtle level, you need a much more refined mindfulness. So that's why towards the end, when everything has quieted down, become so subtle, you just silent, don't do anything, and stay at the breath. Then if you are patient enough, you know how to relax and maintain the silence, not long, your mind will enter sati. When your mind enters sati, it becomes very different. It is very sensitive. Then you realize wherever you locate that mind, the mind is very sensitive. Then later on, even the subtle breathing will come back to you, and you will be able to maintain mindfulness of the subtle breathing. It's like everything become normal again, very clear. Once you are able to develop until that stage, then your mind will enter sati. Then you silence everything and use that mind, the silent mind, to develop wisdom, understanding, to see clearly how you function as a human being, how your senses, upon contact with mind, arises the respective consciousness. Then how you interact with those consciousness, you will come to understand many things on your own. It is always through your conditioning, your views, your opinion, all these condition you to respond to whatever sense experience. So without wisdom, you will stir the mind. You will latch on to the external mind object. Then when you do that, you will develop self-delusion. And self-delusion will condition you to grasp and cling onto whatever that arises. So the meditation will show you all this. Then you also can see all the other essential Dhamma, like the five spiritual faculties if you have developed it. Initially, it's the five mental hindrances. Then the three evil roots. Then after that, you will be able to observe the dependent origination, the dwelling, how it actually arises and passes away. There is the law that governs my behavior. Then after that, you will also understand through constant contemplation, reflection and observation, the Four Noble Truths. The Noble Truth of Dukkha, the eight condition, the condition Dukkha when you don't have that wisdom. Then after that is the cause behind the arising of Dukkha. It's clearly stated by the Buddha that craving is the cause of suffering. But you have to find out what this craving is. Then through your meditative mind, the silent mind, the mindfulness, you will come to understand what craving is. Craving is a type of desire, positive and negative. The first type is sensual craving, craving of the senses. You have the sixth sense basis. Upon contact with mind, it arises the sixth sense door. So when you don't have the right view, right understanding and wisdom, you will latch on to them. That's how you stir your mind. You develop all the duality, the clinging, the grasping, the attachment. You want things your way, which is not nature's way. That's how you suffer. Then the other craving is craving to be, to become something. That one is also very powerful. Then later on, you have the opposite, craving not to become anything. Because whatever you crave to become, finally, he end up giving you more problem and more suffering. So the mind that understands, you will develop the understanding. And this is what wisdom is all about. Then you can constantly reflect on the teaching, especially the five daily contemplation, to develop the initial wisdom, the understanding. Then when you constantly listen to the Dhamma, the first turning wisdom, Sutamaya Panya, will arise. Then when you reflect, contemplate and inquire into the first turning Noble Truth, it will lead to the second turning wisdom, Chintamaya Panya. Wisdom born of reflection, contemplation and inquiry into the truth that the Buddha proclaimed. And all this will prepare the base for you to have the initial wisdom to receive the subsequent truth. Then when you have this initial wisdom, you will continuously straighten your view, and this will make you less deluded. Then when you confront sense experience, you will not stir your mind like before. That's why you are more calm, more peaceful, more at ease. You have more understanding. And your mind is more equanimous. It doesn't latch on to, cling on to unnecessary like before. Okay, with this, I will let you develop the meditation on your own. Then when the 30 minutes is up, I will set the alarm. Then I will ring the bell. Upon hearing the bell, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then we can continue our second session. Okay. slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. Okay, now turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We shall invoke the devas, invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakawalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadam dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa iti peso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho vicca charana sampanno sukato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusana buddho bhagavati svakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanaiko pachyatang veditabo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato savakasango ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasango yatidang chattari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasango ahoneyo pahoneyo dakeneyo anjali karaniyo anuttarang punyaketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujayame. Dhammang pujayame. Sanghang pujayame. Okay. You can be seated. Just relax body and mind. And maintain some form of attention. Then we can start on our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you have. You can ask me question regarding the meditation, the Dhamma, or how you can apply what you have learned, especially the Dhamma, to enable you to understand life and live the life of a beautiful, enlightened being, noble ones. Okay, anybody wants to report meditation or ask any question, you can just raise your hand. We will pass you the mic. The mic is at the back there. Yeah, behind Christina. Anybody? Nobody report meditation. As usual. Very shy. Ah, yes. Pass the mic to Angie. Yeah. Yes, Angie, yes.
Yeah, good evening, Brother Teo.
Yeah. Good evening, yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
With the more experience in the meditation,
yes,
and also learning about the Dhamma.
Yeah.
So I've come to the conclusion that
yes,
wisdom is is the
most important.
Very important. It's
most
the most
important, yes,
because it will it will direct us to the right path.
Correct.
And also
yes,
to do the right thing, discipline, you
yes
know, in our practice.
Correct.
And also decision making.
Yes,
you
yes
know,
yes.
So it's all about wisdom.
Wisdom,
yeah,
nothing
thank
else.
You, Brother.
Thank you. The whole of Dhamma is about wisdom, nothing else. That's the reason why I always remind cultivator, nothing free your mind except wisdom. Nothing liberates your mind except wisdom. So this word wisdom is very important. I will write on the whiteboard. Yeah. So this word wisdom in Pali is called Panya. Yeah? Wisdom. The Pali word is Panya. All of cultivation lead to this one. That's why the Buddha summarized the teaching. He always say you start with Sila, Samadhi, and finally again Panya. And this is essentially the Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path. So Sila is the morality aspect. When you don't have proper Sila, you cannot take care of your life. You get yourself into big trouble. Yeah. If you don't have proper Sila, means you lack wisdom. Just like what Angie came to know, is it? After she learned the teaching, the Dhamma, she realized wisdom is most important. Because without wisdom, you make mistake. You become heedless. You get yourself entangled and you suffer deludedly. A lot of people misunderstood what wisdom is. So in this world, instead of developing wisdom, you know what they do. Yeah? They accumulate knowledge, understand, and become very clever. Yeah? Clever, never mind. They become cunning too. Then after that, they become very intellectual. Then they think with all the title, all the knowledge, they can become successful. This is not true. In fact, knowledge binds. Knowledge makes you worse. Yeah. Because knowledge is rigid. Knowledge is not a wisdom. And knowledge cannot free you. And knowledge is something that you cling on to, because that knowledge deceive you, delude you, and make you think that you are already very smart, very intelligent, very clever. But you are not wise, understand? Not wise means you are not perfect in your understanding of life. You can still get yourself into trouble. So the intellect, even PhD degree holder, even the Nobel Prize winner, and many very intellectual people, or very qualified people, very knowledgeable people, their life without the Dhamma, without the spiritual understanding, is still miserable. Just like what Angie say, with the right understanding, the right view, born of wisdom, you will know how to live your life accordingly. You will know how to navigate around so that you won't get into trouble. Yeah. So all the teachings of the Buddha comes from this wisdom. And wisdom is basically a type of understanding. This wisdom is understanding of the truth, the noble truth as taught by the Buddha, or all of nature's truth. Is the Pancha Niyama, the five nature's order, universal order, that governs all of life and existence. So when you understand all these laws, you understand truth, you will know how to live life, you will understand life clearly, then you will not go against this nature's law that governs life and existence. So if you understand this law, you will progress. You will become very, very different, very beautiful. Even the scientists may not be spiritual, may not have the spiritual wisdom, but they know the two aspects of the nature's scientific law, the nature's physical law, Utu Niyama, and the nature's biological order, Bija Niyama. They progress so fast. Civilization evolve and become so beautiful because of scientific discovery. And the human race flourish, grew based on this understanding of the scientific law. But the other aspect, the other three nature's law, which is spiritual law, they are grossly not understood. Yeah. Except a few great religious teachers. One of them is the Sammasambuddha, Sakyamuni Buddha. So these three spiritual law of nature, he called it the Karma Niyama, Chitta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. Karma means law of karma. Chitta means law of mind, how your mind functions. And Dhamma means law of truth. That's why to develop wisdom is to develop the understanding of these three great laws that governs our life and all of our existence. So sila is the moral aspect, morality. So this morality comes from the first right view, the wisdom with regards to the law of karma. So the Buddha, being the fully enlightened one, he came to understand this very clearly. That's why he can teach us very clearly this law of karma. So under the law of karma, the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So if karma plays such a great role in your life, you have to take care of karma, otherwise you will become miserable. Because you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. And you are what you are because of it. So how do we take care of karma? Karma means you reap what you sow. Do good, begets good. Do evil, because evil. If you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. That's why you have to live your life in accordance with this law. That's why our form and mind is subject to this law of karma. So if you don't take care of karma, you will get yourself into trouble. So when you understand this, then you know you have to do your duty in accordance with this law, your right duty. If you do your duty well, you will be rewarded. Because whatever you do out to people, like your children, your parents, your friends, your colleague or whatever, even your neighbor, yeah, or fellow living beings, you reap what you sow. If you are kind to them, generous, caring, respectful, having all the gratitude, contentment, understanding, you help them. The law of karma, when it comes back, it will create the friction of it. People will treat you well, care for you, be truthful to you. They will not harm you, not cheat you, not deceive you, not cause you any trouble because you didn't do this to people. So to take care of karma means to follow the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. That's how this come about. So to avoid all evil and do good is morality. That's why sila is number one. And the Buddha, under the teaching, told us specifically, silena sukantin yanti. What is the meaning? Sila is the source of what? Sukantin yanti, from the word sukang. Cause of? Happiness. So silena sukantin yanti is very important. Precept is the source of happiness. Then the second one is what? Silena boga sampadan. Silena is precept. Boga sampadan is the source of spiritual wealth. And spiritual wealth is very important. It's so much more important than materialistic wealth. Because with spiritual wealth comes materialistic wealth, happiness, good life, and everything. Without spiritual wealth, if you got only materialistic wealth, it doesn't help you much. Maybe certain aspect of the materialistic world. But materialistic wealth cannot give you wisdom. Do you understand? And because of that, it cannot free your mind. It cannot buy you happiness. It cannot buy you good health. It cannot buy you things that money cannot buy. You understand? So a lot of things that you come to experience and witness in this world of ours, you will come to realize that they arise due to cause and condition. Without proper cause, without proper condition, you will not receive it. Yeah. If you plant the seed of evil, you will receive the fruit of evil. That's it. That is the law of karma, nature's law. So precept is important because it's the source of spiritual wealth. And this spiritual wealth is very important. You can invoke power of all these merits, spiritual wealth, for progress along the path of meditation or the path of Dhamma so that you develop this wisdom to free your mind, to liberate your mind, to become a virtuous living being. Then the last one is silena nibunting yanti. This one is also very important. The Buddha said, precept is the source of peacefulness of mind. So when you keep your precept, you are happy, you are peaceful, you develop spiritual wealth. And these are the foundation for meditation. If your mind is not peaceful, how can you meditate? True or not? If your mind is not peaceful, you cannot meditate, is it? If you break all your precepts, do you think you can meditate? people will come after you, understand or not? You did so much nonsense. Even society's law will come after you. Then, every day you have fear, worry, anxiety because of what you did. But if you keep your precept, you don't harm people, you don't cause all this misunderstanding or conflict or whatever, then the fruition of it will not happen. That's why precept is very important. So when you have peacefulness of mind, you can meditate. Then you can have sukhang, happiness. There is joy. There is natural virtue in you, metta in you. Where you're incapable of harming people, deceiving people, cheating people. You have virtue, you have kindness, you have goodness. You are not deceitful, you are not cunning. This is how precept actually support your practice. Yeah. Then the last one is, of course, is a source of spiritual wealth. Yeah. And you can make use of this spiritual wealth, yeah, to actually develop the understanding of the teaching. And with that, you can meditate because you understand what the teaching is. You know how to develop it. So without precept, you cannot move on to your cultivation. So samadhi is to cultivate the mind, to develop the mind that is mindful, heedful, collected, unwavering. So this is the one that can allow you to see things as they are. So this is the meditative part. The meditative part. Then the last one is, of course, you will awaken. So this one is wisdom. Yeah. This one will free you, liberate you. That's why wisdom is most important. Then the other thing that the Buddha add on is, he says, some people, you don't develop dana-parami. Dana-parami is generosity. Dana-parami. So this one is generosity. You need this one. If you don't have love, if you are not generous, if you are not kind, not gentle, not pleasant, without this parami or dana, it's very difficult for you to have good condition to cultivate the Dhamma. You agree or not? Yeah? Why? If you don't have dana parami, means what? You are born poor, understand? Because you don't have dana parami, you don't have generosity, you will not have health, wealth, not health, wealth. So when you don't have wealth, what happens when you come? You have to work very hard, you know, search for money. You know. They say the 3 meals, the shelter, the food and shelter also not enough. You ask me to meditate. I got really, really no time. Because to me, the priority is the 3 meals, food and lodging, the shelter over my head. So if you lack dana parami, you don't have the condition to meditate, to cultivate the Dhamma. Like this, like most of you, because you have dana parami, understand? That's why you can have the, what they call, luxury of time to come and listen to the Dhamma, to devote your time to cultivate this Dhamma, to develop the meditation, to transform yourself, to bring about the good life. Because this Dhamma is the only thing in this universe that can improve your life and transform your life. If you don't take care of karma, your luck won't change, your life won't change. You will become miserable. So this understanding is very important. And all this comes from wisdom. Without wisdom, you cannot. So dana parami is very important. So the Buddha, sometimes he defined the practice as dana, sila, and bhavana. So this samadhi and panya, these two, he combined these two. and he called it Bhavana. Bhavana. So Bhavana is a Pali word. This one is the meditative discipline. So this one combines these two. When you meditate, develop samadhi, you can see things as they are and insight into the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, non-self and empty nature. Then you awaken. Then you develop wisdom. That's why these two become bhavana. So the Buddha also used dana, sila, and bhavana. So this one, maybe I will use a blue color. Blue color. So this one is bhavana. So this one is dana. I use the blue color better. So this one is dana. Sila remain the same. Sila is still sila. And bhavana. So these three. One, two, three. So now you understand why wisdom is so important. Wisdom is right view, right understanding of life. Right view and right understanding with regards to the three great spiritual law of karma, law of mind, and law of truth. Okay? Clear or not? Yeah? So when you understand nothing free your mind except wisdom, what must you do? Yeah? You must have sincerity or purpose to go for and understand this clearly so that when you cultivate the meditation, you don't deviate, understand? Don't go and look for magic, psychic power. Do things that you think can make you famous or egoic. That will boost your ego. A lot of people, I realize, when they go for meditation, they like to learn that type of meditation. The first thing a lot of people during the early day asked me when they heard that I meditate, you can levitate already. First thing they ask, you can levitate already. You can fly already. You can read mind. You can do magic. So these are people who don't understand. Even with all the psychic, you still will die. You still get old, get sick, and become miserable. Then why you want magic? You understand? Without wisdom, psychic magic will give you problem. You will get yourself entangled more. Because the moment you touch psychic, it has its repercussion. You know why? Before you have the wisdom, if you go and touch psychic, what will you do? Our Chinese tradition got a famous saying, isn't it? Zhen zai jiang hu. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. Your people will come and challenge you. And you simply use your psychic and magic, not for the good of the many, because you lack wisdom. You use it for your own selfish purpose and intent. That's how people get into trouble. Then, if they don't have the proper teacher and understanding, as they go into that field, the Mara will attack them, create problem for them. Then the Mahayana or the Mandarin word, they have this word, Zhou Fo Ru Mo, Zhao Fo Yap Mo. You go and develop energy field, that's why that one is all energy and four. But that four run away, then the Mara come in. So that's why you get into trouble. So don't touch all those things. Develop understanding that you are here to train your mind, to develop virtue, understanding, goodness, kindness, so that you develop a very beautiful karmic nature. And this karmic nature will support you all the way through your virtue, through your good karma, your good merits. They are like your spiritual wealth. Yeah? The 10 meritorious actions that we do every day when we attend class. Yeah? The first three, you always do at dana. That's why you bring offering, you rejoice. Then when you radiate love and metta, that is dana. When you wish people well, that is dana. Then generosity can be in materialistic form. You buy offering to offer to the altar for the puja. You buy the incense, the perfume, or they call it the flower. The flower, this one is very fragrant. You call it the garland, but what is that thing? The jasmine flower. So when you buy fruits and offer, when you bring whatever that is conducive for offering, then after that, through this generosity, you share with all Kayanamita. And who are these Kayanamita? They are cultivators, understand? No? Indirectly, you are making offerings to cultivators, to Kayanamitas, Dhamma friends. And these are very wholesome. Then you keep your precept when you are here. That's how you renew your precept. So you do dana, you do sila, then you sit and meditate. So these three meritorious actions you already have. Then you pay respect for. Then you rejoice, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Five. Then you listen to the Dhamma, six. Then you straighten your view, seven meritorious actions. Then you share merits, you transfer merit. 8 and 9. Then the last one is you help out in the community, the service. Service to the sasana. Service to the Buddhist community. Or you help out in whatever service that you can provide. And contribute towards the sasana. So it can be in the form of like helping to do the recording, helping to develop the transcript, then help in the transcripting. Yeah? Then after that, you help in the proofreading and all those things, then in the printing and all those things. And these are all very beautiful merits. It's the gift of truth, highest gift. That's why you have to have this understanding. Then those who help to do up the website too is the gift of truth, the highest gift. And these are very beautiful. And this one will last very long. It serves you well. And these are very, very strong merits, unshakable. So service can come in many forms. You have to organize spiritual trip. You have to organize the Kayamita gathering and help out in whatever. You help to organize retreat. Tuesday class, Thursday class, Sunday class, or even whatever Dhamma session that we have. Like sometimes we go visit other places. Like recently we went to Aloka Center in Malacca. So somebody organized too, and Kayamita went. Then there were a lot of joy, a lot of wholesomeness. Then sometimes we visit places. So all these are occasion for you to provide your service. Then sometimes because you are part of the Kayamita, there are many things that you can develop, dana parami, you can rejoice, and yet you can partake in all the wholesomeness. You don't have to donate much, small amount will do. That's why you have done a parami, you will have the good condition to do more. And these are very wholesome. And all this, without the Dhamma, you cannot have the condition to do. That's why instead of being heedlessly, living the heedless life, of a deluded living being, every day wasting their time, going after all these so-called materialistic needs, or they call the sensuality of life. Not to say you cannot have some good food, or go to attend some good function or what. You can, but be mindful, be heedful, understand? If you have the means, why not? Pamper yourself a bit, but the word pamper is not the true sense. Normally you pamper a kid means whatever the kid wants, you give the guy. That is not good. That type of pampering is not good. But if you pamper yourself means what? You are not so foolish as to make yourself deluded. Pamper yourself means know how to make use of your dana, parami, your wealth, understand? To really serve yourself, have the good life, you can have the means, why not? Like last time at the retreat, I remember one lady was so happy because she had the means. I think she used to receive criticism. Money, nowhere to go. Every time fly business class and all those things. Yeah, it's expensive. Then when I say that she's so happy, she put her hand, yeah, must pamper ourselves. That's why I fly business class. She said, yeah, you have the means, no problem. But you can also help out using that wealth, understand not? But you don't have to stinge until you don't really do anything for yourself. That's why you can provide for yourself. If you have the means, if you really can do all the good things, you should go and do one. So I sent out the video you all saw. The rich guy, every Christmas, he pretend to be like a poor beggar. Approach people with the coin box, I don't know what, then with the cardboard. Everybody try to avoid him, you realize. And they don't know who he is. And they don't understand what he do. If you really acknowledge him or talk to him, when he come after you, they all run. But there are some who, because they are poor, they don't run. Then they also pity this old man. Then when he realized they didn't run, then he talked to them. No, he said, you don't mind, I give you something. They don't know what he was trying to give them. He took out the 100 US dollar bill. He just gave one. And these people are poor people from the area. They were all very surprised. And some came to tears. There is so much joy. The gift of joy make people happy. Understand? That generosity touch their heart. Because just before Christmas, they need money for many things. But most of them can't afford. And you have the means, why not you do it? And he saved many families. He went, talked to them. Then he came to know, he gave them 500 US. And the mother, the single mother who got 3 or 4 children, was so full of gratitude and joy. He cried. He said, never before have I seen such people. That's why when you do a lot of this, in future, let's say, maybe one of your negative karma condition you to take birth and you become poor. Because this could be heavy karma that you did last time, you don't know. But because of your this parami, the rich, wealthy people will come and see you and give you money. That's why you don't underestimate power of merit. This is what merit is all about. Don't be selfish. Be generous. Be kind. Open up your heart.
You know the 10 paramitas us to cultivate before we to attain samasambuddha.
To realize
samasambuddha. Even as a lay person, we have to cultivate the 10 paramitas.
No, you can start. Understand? The perfection is a long journey. Understand? A long journey. But as you walk the path, the moment you hit the bodhisattva way, and you develop the understanding of the bodhisattva cultivation understanding, there are five stages of bodhi mind development. When you decide to walk that path, the bodhisattva way to become a samasambuddha, the first thing you do is to plant the seed of bodhi. The bodhi seed, the bodhi thought, the enlightenment thought to go this way. So this bodhi mind, once planted, you need to develop it. That's why there are five stages of bodhi mind development. So the first stage is relatively easy. The moment you think you are ready after you have understood all this Dhamma, even the sainthood way or whatever, or before you become really enlightened, you can make the determination, the vow. Then after that, this vow, because of your bodhi seed planted, it will mature, it will flourish. Because you develop it through sincerity, through faith, and you determine very strongly to do this. You take the four basic vows of a bodhisattva. First vow is love and compassion to liberate all beings from samsara. So that love and compassion will bring forth the pure mind for you to take rebirth in the future. Then after that, you vow to endure and severe all suffering, all affliction. That vow is very important. If you can't severe all suffering and affliction, you will have suffering, understand? But the moment you can severe all this means, you yourself know how to free your mind, understand? And then only you can help people. You understand? Then only you can take living being across. That's why the second vow is to develop understanding to free your mind. And the third vow is you vow to penetrate and perfect all wisdom. The perfection of wisdom. Then after that, you will vow to complete the 10 perfection. So by the time you finish the first three vows, you already perfected your wisdom. When your wisdom is perfected, the 10 perfection is nothing, like kacang putih, very easy. But as you take this vow, you already perfect the virtue. You go and read the blue book, I already explained. Stage by stage, you already perfected them. Yeah. In fact, the second vow perfect renunciation. If you cannot renounce everything, you cannot severe all suffering. You cannot endure suffering. So renunciation is not just shave your head and become a monk. No. Renunciation means, the perfection of renunciation means you can renounce all things. Not only materialistic wealth, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your loved one, even your own life, you can renounce them. Understand? That's why renunciation is a very, very wide topic. The understanding is very deep. When you can renounce everything, means you don't have attachment, understand? You don't have craving. You don't have delusion. That's why you can renounce. That's why renunciation. Yeah. And the Buddha also talked about these three types of renunciation. First is kaya vivika. You renounce the physical renunciation. Means you become a monk. You renounce. You give up everything. You even give up your name, your family, everything. And you shave. Enter the monkhood. And become a samana or a monk who cultivates the Dhamma. Yeah. So that first level is physical renunciation. All your wealth, everything you give up, even your hair you give up, your loved one, everything you give up. Technically, you don't have anything. Everything that you think you own, you give up, physical renunciation. Then when you develop the meditation, you seclude your mind, you develop mental renunciation. The mind seclude. That's why from kaya vivika, you go into citta vivika, renunciation of mind, the mind renounce. It goes in, seclude itself, it doesn't come out. That's why it's peaceful, calm, still inside. But this one cannot live life, the Buddha said. But when you meditate, when you cultivate, you need this. You need to develop the silence within, the awareness within, so that you can realize your true mind, so that you know what your true nature is, so that you will understand what the mundane mind is, the worldly mind, yeah, the condition arising mind. So this mind is not your true mind. This one is the worldly mind, or mundane mind, or the thinking mind that has a lot of aggregates, mental activities, sankhara, mental states, views, opinion, conditioning, everything is there. And that one, if there is no wisdom to guide that one, you will make a lot of mistakes. That's why mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arrives, everything arrives. So all hell breaks loose, understand? When this mind is not trained, not developed. If you have not developed it, not trained it, to cultivate the wisdom, then this one becomes very wild. This one make a lot of mistakes, get into big trouble. That's why I say all hell breaks loose. But when you develop the wisdom, once the wisdom is connected to this five aggregate of form and mind, the form and mind become beautiful. You become beautiful. Understand? Then you are not deluded. Then you won't make mistakes. Then the user of this form and mind become beautiful. You can be a blessing to all. You can have the good life, the noble life. You can get to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. Then you can live life to the fullest. You can be of great blessing to all. That's what the teaching is all about. And when you understand, these are all very beautiful understanding. That's why wisdom is very important. When you have wisdom, everything go your way. Yeah. Without wisdom, you can't. So coming back to your question on the perfection of the 10 perfection, don't worry. As you cultivate, you see, the first stage of Bodhi is just plant the seed of Bodhi, develop the vow sincerely to walk this way. Then renew your vow every now and then. Then after that, you will go on to develop, they call it the Bodhi mind development. Stage by stage, you will go up. Then as you go through the sainthood way, you will become arahant. But because of your vow, you will know how to come. You understand? Because of your love and compassion, your first vow, that pure mind can take rebirth. So you are not reborn into another form of mind to delusion. You are reborn through your vow, your bodhisattva vow. That pure consciousness of love and compassion is a pure thought without any ignorance or delusion. And that one can, because you have a beautiful karmic nature, that one can condition rebirth. So a form of mind will come up. That's why you can choose to come. You don't have to come because you got two choices. No? If you don't have the wisdom, you don't have a choice. Then you have to come. But if you have the understanding, then you can choose to come through the bodhisattva way, through your vow. Yeah. So all these are very beautiful. Yeah. And when you cultivate accordingly, your bodhi mind development continue to arise, progress. Then by the time you reach the third phase, you're already so beautiful. Means you have gone through the sainthood way. You already gone beyond the arahant way. Then you can realize your true mind. The moment you can realize your true mind, you are already very good, very good. Then the fourth stage of Bodhi mind development is even more beautiful. Yeah. you can renounce samsara. And you don't worry about how long this journey takes, because you know samsara is not real. You have gone beyond the normal cultivation. You have reached the cultivation of no thought, no mark, and no dwelling, which is the Diamond Sutra teaching, Hui Ning, Six Patria Platform teaching. So when you cultivate all this, your perfection of the ten parami will happen by itself. Yeah. The first vow will develop all the love and compassion. Then the third vow will develop all the wisdom and all those things. So patience, generosity, dana parami, all those things, they are part and parcel of the meditative way, the cultivation. That's why you start with sila, samadhi and panya, then you have dana. So all these are perfection. Dana is one of the ten perfections. Sila is also one of the ten perfections. Love, metta, all things, they are perfection. Then renunciation. Then the other one is patience, kanti, patience. You will have a lot of patience. You will have a lot of understanding. So all this parami, you don't have to worry. They come naturally. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So, any more question or meditation reporting? Anybody else? Yes, pass the mic to Tammy. Push it out. Tammy, yes.
Verity, good evening. This is a sharing.
Good. Good. Yeah. I have a drink. Let her share. Very good.
This was when I was in Burma, and then that time got a lot of time. So, I was chanting this, Buddhang Saranang Gajami. Then I was thinking, what does it actually mean? And then refuge.
Yeah.
And we seek refuge from the Buddha. Early days when I used to chant it, I thought that I just robotic chant.
Correct.
Then when I start to reflect on what does it mean, refuge means seek protection.
Refuge is protection.
Okay,
you go for refuge means you surrender yourself, understand? It's like a refuge where you take refuge, like a refugee. You go there for refuge because here, miserable, understand? Anytime you can die, either die of salvation or war or people kill you, understand? Because life is so difficult. That's why you have to run as a refugee to a safe place. That's why they say you take refuge.
So that I was contemplating on the refuge. Then I noticed that, wow, it's like when I was young, I used to feel that, protection of father, mother, or stay in the house, or somehow, something to protect, kind of feeling. Then, actually, that is not true.
Correct.
And then,
because when you understand, that is just the mundane aspect of protection.
Because the house will,
subject to a lot of risk, fire, break in, disaster, and all the earthquake or whatever.
And then even parents, close one, friends,
they
also will die.
Will have their own karma. So there is no real protection.
So that time I was like, oh my god, I'm on my own. That kind of feeling. Then after that I reflecting in Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha.
It's just like
if the right view, the wisdom Buddha is
that is the one that protect you and free you. Yes, without that wisdom, you are miserable. You are not protected at all. And what is wisdom? Wisdom lead to virtue. Understand that? You off that mic first. the re-vibration is quite strong. So you see, without wisdom, you cannot avoid all evil. You cannot cultivate goodness. Goodness is virtue. That's why when you have wisdom, you will know how to avoid all evil. You will know how to develop virtue. That's why the Buddha said, what is the highest protection? You cannot remember. Virtue! Nothing protects you except your virtue. You know why? When you have virtue, you are incapable of harming people, isn't it? There is no karma to get into trouble, isn't it? That's why virtue is your highest protection. You have virtue. If you help people a lot, you are very kind. You have a lot of metta, a lot of generosity. This parami will protect you. You won't get into trouble. You will become very different. That's why nothing protects except virtue. But virtue comes from what? From wisdom. Without wisdom, you don't know how to follow the advice of the Buddha. You follow the advice of the Buddha where you have this right view, which is a type of wisdom with regards to law of karma. You know law of karma is so powerful. My life, I don't want to end up miserable. That's why if I understand this, immediately I will turn. I will never go back to the old way of heedless living. Why? Because that one lead to misery, hell, suffering. Do you want that? Do you want that? You don't want that, then what must you do? Determine to train yourself, follow the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, do good, purify your mind. Means cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, which is noble eightfold path. And this is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That's why all the teachings are interconnected, related. It all comes back to wisdom. Without wisdom, all these are not possible. And talking about refuge, the deep meaning is very deep. You have got one part which is correct. When you take refuge in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, because they have the Dhamma, understand? That's why with the Dhamma, you can become enlightened. You have the wisdom. That's why wisdom protects. True. Well, without wisdom, there is no virtue. Without virtue, there is no protection. But the other deeper meaning of refuge is, in the Dhammapada, the Buddha stated very clearly, there is no refuge safe. Not even in the mountain, in the temple, or in whatever building is refuge safe. The only refuge safe you can find in this universe is the triple gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. For it is in this triple gem that you can find the Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. Without the understanding of the Four Noble Truths in its three turning, you cannot develop the wisdom to free your mind. That's why this is refuge safe. Yeah. The other thing about taking refuge is to cultivate affinity with the triple gem. Understand? Because you take refuge. Life after life you come, whenever there is the Sammasambuddha or the teaching or the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, because you have taken refuge, it will create affinity for your nature to link. Understand? You will meet up with them. And that is the most important aspect of refuge. Well, when I take refuge, means I have sincerity, I have faith. That's why I chant, Buddhang saranang gacchami, means to the Buddha, this nature, go for refuge. This nature means not this form of mind, this life. This nature, life after life, go for refuge. Because it is only in the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha that I can find the teaching. So if you take refuge, you have condition to connect to them. So even without sasana, without the Sammasambuddha, without the teaching, you still have enlightened being, Anasana, who are all disciples of Sammasambuddha at one time or another. So because of that, you will still connect. That you take the Bodhisattva vow, you will have that right view, that understanding, life after life, when you come. Whether got sasana or no sasana, you will have that. That's why that vow is very important. You have all to gain, nothing to lose when you take those vows. which is totally against what those deluded beings think. Because the thought tell them, they fear, hey, don't play a fool, you know, you take that type of vow, what if you don't fulfill? All these are fear created by what? By their own deluded thought, their mundane thinking. Your true nature is so beautiful. Why you go and think of all the negative things? That is a sign of delusion, understand? You think the wrong thought, isn't it? What are wrong thoughts? Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and you are thinking that thought. Why can't you just develop the understanding and say, what have I got to lose when I make this vow? I have everything to gain. I have the faith, I have the sincerity, and I vow this way, life after life I come, I have this understanding. This is real gem, real treasure, money cannot buy. And what are you waiting for? Your life. If you doesn't understand the importance of this, and doesn't want to make a difference to your life, I don't know what you are doing. You are really, really deludedly wasting your life. It's as if you never live. If you really have the understanding, your mind is very different. That's why in the year 1971, I remember, when I was still in Form 4, Form 5 that time, I straight away determined. Because when I came to know about this teaching when I was in lower six, I think 1972 or 73, I forgot already. Straight away the mind understand, no turning back. Because even when I was in Form 4, Form 5, I like to look at the sky, at the star. I lie down on the field, open sky, and I look at the star. Then my mind, at that age, reflect, contemplate. Who am I? What am I? I am just one speck of the insignificant human being on this planet Earth. That time was about 6 billion, I think. Now 7 billion. Then I say, the planet Earth is one of the third planet from this so-called sun of ours. And all the stars out there are potential sun. Countless. Billions and billions and billions. Some are much bigger than our sun. Some are maybe similar size and some are smaller. But there are countless stars in the universe. We are talking about light years of immense space. And yet there is no boundary. And yet the world system is unending. Even the most powerful Hubble telescope or whatever telescope that the human race develop. There is no boundary. They cannot see the boundary yet. There is so much marvel in this universe. That's why that time my mind probed. Then deep inside, the voice told me, you have to meditate to understand. That time I don't even know what is meditation. I don't even know what Dhamma is. But the voice inside from the past, it told me, you have to meditate to understand. That straight away it clicked. And I knew I have to meditate, but I don't know how to meditate. But all these were there, ready for me when I was young. Even when I was very young, a lot of sign came. A lot of things make me contemplate, reflect. And I knew even as a kid, I'm not the normal one, the normal people. I'm very different from most people. Well, everything I do, opposite the convention. Even when I blow the flute, I put this way on. The correct way is this way. And a lot of things, addition also, people add from this small number to the big number. I add from the big number to the small number. Then I do a lot of things, non-conventional. That's why people who don't understand, they don't know. And I look at things different, unconventional. That's why I can understand truth. I can understand the reality very fast. Because later on, as I developed this understanding and I inherited my past cultivation, my nature came to know the truth is always the opposite of the conditioned world. What the world thinks is logical is always the opposite of the real truth behind. The real truth is the belly one. Like you see everything in this world are like very real, very enticing, luring and all those things. Like when you have the money, you have the means. Life is so beautiful, etc. Then everything is like very, very tangible, very real. Then like your life, you live like you will never die, etc. You think all these are very permanent. You can own things, you can possess things, you can have things, you can have the good life. But the truth of it is what? Everything is impermanent. It will cease to be finally. No matter how solid it is, it goes the way of nature. Then it end up in suffering, because when you don't have the wisdom, you will deludedly grasp, cling and hold on to the phenomenal world of consciousness. Yeah, everything to you is so real. To the cultivator, to me, they are just consciousness, miming. How real can it be? Just an image here, come and go, come and go. Your mind keep on perceiving, thinking, reacting, creating all the suffering and the misery. But when you have the Dhamma understanding and the wisdom, all this cease to have an effect over you. And that brings me to just now at the dinner table. You remember those who joined us at the dinner? So, Pamasuri was talking about her daughter, Minjun. She used to come back every year too. But she missed her parent when she was over there. So she every time cried. Then I remember Elsie asked her, "You mean he still cry?" He said, "Yeah, because lady, you understand, girl, more emotional." So how do you look at this? Because this is life, isn't it? Your loved one, your daughter. And being a young undergraduate student, not yet graduate, 22 or coming to 23 when she graduated, she sure have this affection, emotion, understand, love. That's why she will cry. She missed the parents. Especially Brother Tio. He missed Brother Tio a lot. I can see before she fly back, the tears. So all this are part and parcel of life. How do you deal with this type of life situation? You have to have the understanding, understand? What is emotion? Emotion pertain to what? What is emotion? Mental feeling, isn't it? Correct, no? It's a type of feeling, isn't it? Then it develops into emotion, isn't it? Good and bad emotion, isn't it? Soothing and sometimes you will miss people, miss them a lot. That type of emotion is different, isn't it? That one is more towards love. Then you really miss them. Because your mind contemplate a lot of things. When you are at home, they care for you. They provide for you. They sacrifice for you. They cook all the nice things for you. They give you the best. Now overseas study, you are alone. So everything that happened, when you reflect, wow, how nice to have mom and dad. But there you alone. So a lot of these things will make you reflect, contemplate. Then you miss them. And it's very natural for human beings who don't have the wisdom to be emotional, understand? To have the affection. Then you will cry. But when you have the Dhamma, it's different, understand? It doesn't mean that you like behave like all those people say, "Hey, I must not stir my mind, I must not react. I must have what they call equanimity." Then you might as well be a lock. What is life? You have a human body. tissue and cell, you have a consciousness trapped inside, you have emotion. You can have love, understand? You can express your love. But what is the Buddha's advice? Don't attach, understand? Don't attach means what? Got condition, have it. No condition, accept it, understand? When you are away, your parents not around. You have to accept, you have to do everything yourself. Then you learn to be independent. Then you reflect, you contemplate. You say it's a blessing in disguise. Otherwise, I become dependent on them, understand? Now I can establish my own freedom. Then I learn to be independent, understand? So that I can survive, even alone, in a foreign country. Then you realize, this is good training. You thank your parents for sending you there and leave you alone. Understand? Yeah. But you don't have to worry about money. You know, the money is guaranteed there. And off and on, got anything, Pamasuri will fly down. I remember one or two trips. Then relative like one of them say, nowadays got WhatsApp one. Got video conference. Who was it that say that? No, who was it that's on the dinner table? Yeah, LCR. LC says that. So, life is beautiful, isn't it? Technology is good, isn't it? That's why I don't blame everything on technology. The internet. Don't fear them. Use them. The form and mind is for you to use. Use, understand? Don't be like those people have a knowledge, concept, and intellectual mind. Of what enlightenment is. Oh, I enlightened, I different, no? I must not have craving. Good food also they not eat. You pass to me, I eat. Understand? He don't want to let people see that, hey, you still got craving. The mind cannot take it. Be tahan. Ayo, why are you behaving this way? Means, you are trying to be enlightened, understand? You are not enlightened, understand? Trying to be enlightened is the thought, want to be enlightened. No? So, he tried to behave like an enlightened being. No? And the worst is what? This non-enlightened one is telling the enlightened one how enlightenment is like, no? How to live. No? Huh? You enlightened already. 7 days, you don't renounce and become monk, you die. Oh, they go and tell you all this type of thing. If arahant is so fragile, you think the Buddha want to let you train yourself to become arahant? It's madness, and it's written in the book, though, and people talk about it. That's why when you don't have wisdom, you have knowledge, it's very dangerous. Knowledge mind. You understand? That's why the 7 stages of purification. One of the purification is purification of views. Understand? Your views, your knowledge, your opinion of things. Of course, there is also purification of virtue. Or sila, sorry. Morality. Sila visuddhi. So all these, they are all in the teaching. But you have to understand them. Enlightened being, they are different because of the wisdom connected, understand? Not because their forehead got a chop, understand? It's not like that, understand? But a lot of things inside, they are physical transformed, yes. The brain transformed, the consciousness transformed. Your understanding, your wisdom transformed. Then the mundane mind finally will collapse. Then the supramundane mind will arise. Your nature will shine forth. Yes, all those things will happen. But you have not gone through, you have not realized, you cannot understand. You only read about it in the book. And the author who write may not be the enlightened one. Then you read all the wrong things. Then you go and argue. And the worst is they quote the highest authority. You know who is the highest authority in Buddhism? The Buddha say. They quote the word and they say the Buddha say. Because they interpret the word according to their own limited understanding. So all this you have to develop your own understanding. If it's really the Dhamma, the truth, you investigate into it, it will stand up to investigation. Then you don't have to quote the highest authority, Anasana. And the reason why when I share with you all, I want to quote the Buddha's word is because I scared you all, look at me, who is this joker? Brother Teo, not even a monk, just a lay person. Wow, talk as he want. You don't have faith in it, correct or not? Because you will go and think like some people, I don't know God or not. I used to like hear from people. This one I really hear them. You know what they say, you know? Eh, not easy lah. Then somebody ask, why you say not easy? They say still possible lah. He say, you must be mad, I say. You listen and see whether this is logical or not. He said the monk full time also cannot make it. You think you stand a chance? Logical or not? Definitely not logical. Understand? You think a student who study full time, he will do better than a guy who doesn't really study much? The guy who doesn't really study much study with understanding. Understand? That's why I got a lot of classmates who are very good in the university. Before exam, they go and see show. Huh? Cinema. Relax. And after that, go in for exam. And they score. They did very well. Yeah. I also like to relax. Yeah. I study, then I just relax. Yeah. Whatever will be, will be. But because my nature is different, I'm confident. I know. That's why when you study until you are confident, the faith is there, the confidence. Means you know you will do well, understand? No matter what the exam question is. Oh. Because you are confident, but you have prepared yourself, understand? You have done sufficient study with sufficient understanding. And you are not the one that remember one through knowledge. So all this will differentiate the wise one from the intellect. From the one with book knowledge, or what they call scholarly cultivator, and the scholars. Yeah. The scholar, they read a lot. They sometimes can rattle the whole Tipitaka. But if you are scholarly, you don't know how to reflect, contemplate, and develop the understanding and the wisdom. Means you didn't put it into practice. You develop pariyatti, but that is not the real pariyatti. You don't have the true understanding. That's why you cannot put it into practice. Patipatti, the second phase of Dhamma, cannot take off. But if you meet the right teacher with the right understanding, with the right guidance, then you reflect and contemplate, then you investigate into it, then you realize all this stand up to the test. Then you put it into real life practice. Then you realize your life change. You become a better person. Character wise, personality wise, understanding wise, your life improve. And people can feel you. And that is the real change. Understand? But if you do a certain type of cultivation that in the past a lot of people do, the thought based one, you know what happened now? They like very serious. They attend very intensive retreat. They go for all these what they call intensive classes, retreat or something. Then they go Abhidhamma, everything. Then they devote a lot of time doing all these things. But then when they come out and go back into life, maybe they themselves cannot see, but other people can see. They haven't changed. They still got anger. They still got emotion, understand? They still like a normal human being. Oh, no different. They can still get angry, fearful, emotional. Then you realize you haven't changed. Inwardly, you haven't changed. The three evil roots are still there. So the real Dhamma can transform you. And you can see yourself. Because you are mindful, you are heedful, you are aware. Then like last Thursday we went through, I have sent the short note out. You all go back and read yourself. Because today definitely not enough time to go through. But it's very good, you should go through it. Because when you really have the Dhamma, you are so different from those with knowledge. Totally different. And you will see all these things clearly because you are mindful, you are aware, you are heedful. Then you saw your own selfishness, your own greed, your own delusion, your own cunningness, deceitfulness. Then you realize this is what is happening in the past. That's why you wake up. You say, no wonder the Buddha said, these are evil, the root of all evil, make me evil, cause my karmic downfall. That's why you determine to change, to follow the advice of the Buddha. Then you cultivate the four right effort to abandon all these wrong thoughts, selfish thoughts, deluded thoughts, or wrong thought. Then you develop wholesomeness, right thought. Then right thought condition, right speech, right action. Then you cultivate all the right thought, all the right action and right speech, the virtue and all the things. So you develop more and more goodness, kindness, generosity, compassion, love, respect, gratitude. And all this become a natural part of you. Because you know these are conducive for wholesomeness. Conducive to progress along the path of Dhamma. Then you become incapable of negativity. You kept your precepts so well because you know it's not worthwhile to break, to violate. Well, this is the nature's law. You can't. You reap what you sow. You dare to do that or not? You dare to neglect your duty or not? Don't care about your family. Go enjoy your own life. Neglect them. In future, you will have parents who neglect you. That's why those people who gamble, drink, do all the funny things, and neglect their family. So every day the wife worked very hard, worried for him, came back drunk. Sometimes when the things are not going their way, they develop negative emotion. And because of that, they go and drunk themselves. Then sometimes mix up with the wife, get themselves entangled with a lot of problems, worldly problems. Sometimes end up police case and all those things. So this is what heedlessness is all about. This is what downfall is all about. So when you see all these things, you should count your own good blessing. Luckily you have the Dhamma. You are no longer that way. You don't neglect your duty anymore. You love yourself. You care for yourself. Then you will know how to take care of yourself. Then when you have the means, you can pamper yourself, look after your family, give them love, give them joy, provide for them, then take them for good meal, or travel, or do the thing that you like to do. Then if you have the means, you want to have certain things, by all means, go ahead. But don't indulge, understand? Don't attach, don't cling. When no more condition, don't become miserable. Especially when you are traveling. Then you go to a place where the food is horrible. Everything is got money also cannot buy on. So cold the weather. And you don't have the parami weather also against you. Then everything is not right. Then your thought will project. Stupid fellow, wasted so much money. Buy the plane ticket, pay for all the tour, come to this stupid place to suffer. What am I doing? Oh, then the thought project. At home, I can have nice coffee, I can call up my friend, I can have mahjong kaki, I can I can watch football and all the things. All these are your thought, understand or not? Any reality or not? It's not a reality, right? But when you project, you feel what? You feel more and more miserable. You regret. What is there to regret? You already make that decision. Means your own stupidity. Understand? I don't say stupidity. Your own bad karma. Understand? That's why you got money, you also get into trouble. What are you doing? Well, you didn't take care of life. But you take care of life, sometimes no money, also people will pay for your trip. Understand? And you get to go. And I've seen a number of them. And one of them is from Klang. You remember who or not? You don't know? Your brother Tay. Sia pay for his whole trip, you remember? Sia and the wife, what's her name? Not Nancy, sorry. This is a Perth one. The wife is called one, Peng. Because last time, Brad Tay worked for him one, very good staff. Then he asked him to, he invited me to Perth with my wife, and Kayamita also follow. So I thank him. I say, he is my senior. He's a mechanical engineer, MU1, very smart guy during his time in the 60s. Can enter MU, I tell you. He's a real, really, really intelligent one. I went in 10 over years later, 70-something only I went in. And that time, to do engineering in MU, I tell you, he said his batch, handful only, not that many studying engineering. Wat Na Long, he was there, yes. They call him Akong. He very old. Yeah. He's actually brother Sia. S-I-A-H. Sia Jiwei. 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 He's very good. He attended my retreat. He was full of joy. And he invited me to Perth, to the house, to the retreat home. Then we had a good time there. And he paid for Brother Tay's whole airfare, everything. Everything he just paid. Then got pocket money. I tell you, that's why you got good parami. Then when I came to know, I asked Brother Tay, I said, wow, what type of parami you have? He said, last time I worked for him, Brother Tay. And this Brother Sia, he is very full of gratitude because I think Brother Tay must have helped him to manage the account, everything very well. So when you do things sincerely, people appreciate, understand? And also good karmic past. In the past, he must have helped Brother Sia before. And this Brother Sia, being a mechanical engineer, he's quite successful. He has the means, understand? That's why he can do all this. So these are all part and parcel of virtue, wisdom, dana parami, understanding, dhamma. That's why a lot of things, you don't think I must have money, only can travel. No, not necessary. That's why dhamma is very beautiful. If you haven't done all this, then you cannot witness them, you cannot see them. But when you have done all this, you will know. That's why I witness a lot of people. Out of the blue, from nowhere, somebody just helped them. In my hometown, I got one friend. He was older than me by 3 years old, but not educated. So since young, because the father no more, the mother alone take care of him, he was working for somebody who sell power, the Tua Pao or the whatever Pao. So this old man was very good, so he learned from him. And because he was very hardworking, all the things after he learned, then he prepared, then they sell for the whole day. Then he helped to collect money, everything, so he did very well. Then one day, one customer came. He didn't know that this customer is a very wealthy guy. Well, he heard about his Pao, very famous. He came down and he buy from him. Then, he been very sincere and very kind. He said, no problem. He said, I will give you the best. Because his stove is always steam up one. Then this rich guy, he take home, really, you know, he find it so good, so tasty. Then one day he came and see him, you know. He said, "Do you want to do something better or not?" He just asked him like that, you know. He doesn't know what he mean, you know. He said, "How much are you earning a month?" Then he told him, I think that time, less than 10 ringgit a month. Because they give you food. Then this guy, because he was a rich guy, he said, "You don't mind talking to your boss, ask him to train another one, then you come and join me." Because he saw him very honest, very sincere. And overnight, after he trained somebody, he went down to Alostar Tower. He got a shock, he got a very big office. And he straight away trained him for rank and file and put him in charge. That's why he became overnight very, very successful. And the pay he paid him was so much more, until he also don't believe that. Then he came back, he was driving a car. I remember the whole village was looking at him. Wow, can afford car. That time motorbike also difficult. Can afford car. So he took the mother, moved down to a nicer house, and all say, that's why this type of parami, you think by chance. No, like this boss help him like that. In future, he will have this type of luck, understand? People will help him. That's why sometimes you don't worry about what your condition is. If you have the parami, the good karmic nature, it will serve you well. It will come at the right time. Okay, we better end. I think the alarm went off earlier. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this is to give you faith that the Dhamma is very beautiful. When you cultivate the Dhamma, develop wisdom, most important. With wisdom come virtue, understanding, beautiful life, beautiful mind. Mind states and everything. So this is the beauty of the Buddha Dhamma, the Buddha's teaching. Okay. We will share merit, transfer merit, and we end. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana. Ita wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siriya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo. Imin menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo. Imina penyang kamina mami bala sama kamu satang sama kamu hotu yawa nirana patia. Sadu, sadu, sadu. Okay, let's pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Let me end.
forgot to ask the what Nalo want to report. Next week, lah. Next week. Next week, God. Thursday class, God. Tuesday, Sunday, don't have.